Good evening, everybody. Good evening to you joining us online. Thanks so much for being here. To all of you who are getting ready to go to the club, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate that. No worries, no shade. I'm just telling you, I'm glad you're tuning in before you go. Don't worry, there's some of them in here too, but we're going to be all right, okay? We're going to be all right in the house. If you're going to the club today, I'm going to give you something to think about while you're in the club. Praise the Lord. Somebody need to help you before you go there, all right? All right, I want to talk about today, one very important topic that will help you in 2018. So if you don't mind, let me pray, and then let's jump in. Father, inspire, remind your people today of how significant this one concept is. Teach us and then help us to apply it in every situation on every day in 2019. Transform us from the inside out, we pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. There's one thing that determines if you'll be happy or unhappy next year. There's one thing that determines whether you will succeed or fail next year. There's one thing that will determine whether you grow or you remain stagnant next year. And that one thing is really how you look at things. It's your perspective. Look at your neighbor and tell them your perspective. Look at the other one and say, it's how you see things. You see, your perspective determines your purpose. Your perspective determines your passion. Your perspective determines your history. How you look at things has shaped where you are today, and it will shape where you're going for the next 10 years and in all of 2019. You see, it influences how you see God. It influences how you see yourself. It influences how you view life. It influences how you see money, how you see your kids. It influences everything. This one word called, say with me, perspective. You see, it influences the way you view your family, the way you view your health, the way you view career, the way you view retirement, the way you view your future. This one thing. You see, next year, you're either going to look at life through the lens of fear, or you're going to look at it through the lens of faith. There are only two options. You're going to either look at it, some of you looked at this year, through the lens of fear, and so it prevented you from doing a whole lot of things. Or you're going to look at it through the lens of faith, and because of faith, you're going to run towards some things because of your, say with me, perspective. So on today, I have a couple thoughts for you, and then I'll get out of your way. On today, you've got two of them. Either, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to go through life, like some of you did last year, with the lens called fear. And this is how you're going to look. Scared of everything. God's called you to do something, and you're like, well, I'm not so sure. I don't have enough money. Where am I going to get the people from? I don't know how it's going to work out. And everything you do is fear-driven. Or you're going to look at it through the lens of faith, and you're going to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One or the other, that's how you're going to look at everything. You do know that two people can look at the same situation and think radically differently about them. When I go to the hospital sometime and visit somebody who has cancer, two people going through the same thing, but one has the faith glasses on and the other has the fear glasses on. It all depends on your, say with me, perspective. I want to go to a passage of scripture that I think is pretty profound, and it helps undermine and highlight this particular issue. In the book of Numbers, there's a story told about 12 spies. I want to talk about them today. Let me give it a summary of the story, and then we'll fine-tune it in a moment. And so God had already delivered them from the Egyptians. They went across the Red Sea. God's done miracle after miracle after miracle. They're pretty excited about what God is doing and where God's taking them. God says, 170 times he tells them, I'm taking you to Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. Say it with me, 170 times. Say it with me, 170 times. One more time, 170. That's how many times God told them, we're going to Canaan. 170 times. Yet still, Moses shows up. They're right on the edge. They're about to go in. And Moses, as any good leader would do, before you can seize it, you must see it. Any great leader knows you got to see it. You got to feel it. You got to taste it before you can succeed in it. So he says, I'm going to send 12 guys, and I'm going to see one from each tribe, and I'm going to go tell them, hey, man, go take a look at what it looked like and bring back some of its fruit so we see if it's really flowing with milk and honey. He says, all right. The 12 guys says, okay, cool. They went over, and they saw, and they were like, whoa, land flowing with milk and honey. They come back, and 10 of them says, I saw land flowing with milk and honey, but I also saw some other stuff. The two said, oh no, I saw what God wants for us. Let's go and go conquer it right now. Listen. Here is the sad tale of this story. For the next 38 years, the 10 never conquered Canaan. But because of the lens through which they saw life, they went around in circles in the wilderness, over and around and around and around, never accomplishing the dream that God had for them because of the perspective they had. Let me bring it down to your table. It's like going to church, which many of you do, and it's like worshiping and saying, what are you doing? And you're getting all excited about God. Never accomplishing the purposes of God. You see, be careful. You can come to church all you want. The enemy don't mind you going to church as long as you don't do nothing when you leave church. And what we got in church is too much all across this country. It's people dressing up to go to church. And when they leave church, they look the exact same way and they have no impact in the community. That's what the children of Israel, for 38 years, they wandered around and around and around. Listen, they looked good, they praised God, they were saved, listen, but they never participated in God's purposes. Do you see the condemnation? They never did. What was God's purpose? Take Canaan. Where did they stay? In the wilderness. It was not till Caleb was 80 years old that he said, listen, man, I told y'all 40 years ago that we ought to take it. Let's take it now. And those two did. I wonder if there's anybody here that God's given a dream. And that dream has stayed with you for a while, but because you're looking through the lens of fear, you stay going around in circle and a circle, the same old deadbeat job over and over and over again. God's giving you the dream he wants you to accomplish, but because you can only see fear, you never walk into what God wants you to do. And this next year is the year for you to switch your perspective and walk in faith. Can I get a witness, one family? That's what it is this year. That's the goal. I want to show you the anatomy of fear. I want to show you how people who have on the fear glasses think. So let's see if we can jump in it. If you have one of the handouts, turn to it and let's look at it. And let me show you how people who walk around fearful all day long, how they get there. They walk around in these all day long. I want to show you how they get there. Come with me. Verse number 27 and 28 gives us the first clue into what happens when I look at my future with eyes of fear. Verse 27, here's what it says. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Listen, they're saying, yeah, God was right. He told us 170 times it will be a land flowing with milk and honey. So they're all excited. Don't turn to it yet. But the next verse, the first word, tells a whole lot. Look at the first word. Say it with me twice. First word, next verse. Here we go. What's it say? Nevertheless. Come on, that's not everybody. Everybody in the house. What's it say? Nevertheless. So they know what God, they knew what God said. They saw what God had told them they would see. However, they saw some other stuff. So let's see what they saw. Nevertheless, the people who live there in the land are, say with me, and the cities are, and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Them like some big old football, but they're like some eight feet tall, 300-pound folk. And they said, whoa, they're strong. Their cities are fortified. Whoa, 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 whoa. Number one clue that you're wearing lens of fear. Number one, here it is. I get stressed by conflicting information. God said, it will be flowing with milk and honey. Number two, but you see some giants over there. God says, I want you to go and I want you to start that business, but, where am I going to get the money from? God says, I want you to go in that particular direction, but hold on, God, what happened if it don't work out? What's my fallback plan? That's because you're wearing lens, driven by, say with me, your perspective is, that's it. And when it is, it colors everything God says. That's the danger of doing that. Listen to me, church. Fear will turn good news into bad news. God says it's flowing with milk and honey, but they somehow only see the problem. They don't see what God says. That's the challenge. The challenge is, don't we do this? God says, I'm telling you where to go, and I'm telling you what I want to do. The question they're asking is, but is it manageable? Can we? It's such a Collin County question. Is it, well, let me assess to see if that makes sense reasonably. Well, most of the things God's going to tell you to do don't make sense. Because if it did, you could do it without him. That's why he says, I need you to trust me, because this don't make sense unless you trust me. The challenge we have before us, we have too many people that want to be able to see the whole story instead of just taking the next step. All God's asking you to do is take the next step. You want to see the whole runway. God said, I don't care about the whole runway. I care about you and you being obedient with the, say with me. That's all you got to take. He says, first of all, there's conflicting information, and the conflicted information, you only look at the bad news. You don't highlight the good news. Number two, it gets better. Number two, he says, I fulfill my own self-defeating prophecies. Look at verse number 31. Verse 31, here's what it says. Verse 31 says this. It says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. Listen, read the last phrase for me. For they are too strong for us. So now, listen to how you start telling yourself stuff, which is why you're wearing these. God says, it's flowing with milk and honey. You saw some giants. So now you're like, oh, them too strong? They too strong for me. That's because you start preaching to yourself negative stuff that God didn't tell you to preach to yourself. Now you start telling yourself what you can do instead of reminding yourself of what God told you to do. That's our problem. God says, I want you to go after your dream. It's your dream. It's the one I placed in your heart that I want you to run hard after. And you don't see the dream anymore. You're looking at all the reasons why you can't. Now you walk around telling yourself, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm too old. I can't do it. I can't start now. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. There are always two ways to look at something. Both are right. If you size up yourself, you will always retreat in fear. What they did was they sized up themselves against the giants. And once you do that, you're wearing these glasses. You're not wearing the others. That's what he says. Let's go to number three. Third reason. Ooh, this one is ugly. Watch the text. Verse number 32. Well, let me read it to you first, and then we go for, oh, they gave it to you already. I inflict others with negativity. Watch what happens. You're stressed out by conflicting information. Then you start telling yourself that you can't win. Then you just let that spill over to your whole family, to everybody that interacts with you, and everybody now is negative. So nobody's thinking, God said, we're going to capture that, the land flowing with milk and honey. 170 times he told them that. And they're not thinking about that. All they're thinking about, they got some big giants over there. Watch the text. Watch the verse. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report. Everybody say this with me. Two more times. Last time. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours. That means they will eat us up if we go over there. Don't go. They'll eat us up. You don't want to be eaten up, do you? So then let's not go. Its inhabitants and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. That means they're giants. Where am I giant at today? I need a giant. Bring a giant out here. Any giants around here today? We don't have no giants today. Yeah, bring it down here. Bring that big old giant down here. Bring my giant down here. See, when you spine it out from afar, all you see is this big old thing. You'd be like, that's too much. We can't defeat that. And all of them, that's all of them 8 foot and above. We can't beat that. That's too big. That's how you see your problems. It's too big. I can't do it. God, I just can't. I don't know how we're going to defeat that. That's too big. And you spend your entire time focusing on what you can't do instead of what God told you to do. That's because you're looking through the lens, say it with me, of
fear.
Your perspective is fear-driven. So you look at this big old thing and you're like, no, I'm not that tall. Look at his nose. His nose big. I can't do that. It's too big. We can't win. That's not how Caleb sees it, though. Because if you have the lens of faith, then you say, me plus God can defeat anything. That's not how David saw it with Goliath. Because David says, how dare you speak against the God of Israel like that? And David says, oh, no, me plus God. God can take this one little stone and knock you down. That's because he looked through the lens of faith. So then he infected others. Look what happened next. So you start out by your stress because of conflicting information. Then you have self-defeating prophecies. Then you infect others with your negativity. You ever see families? Ooh, I don't even want to talk about this, but I will. You ever see families where all the kids hold their head down? All the kids. What you doing with your head down? Boopie. Then you look at the dad and the mom. That's because they're all following the leader of that house. You ever notice how the more you worry, the bigger it gets? The more you feel negativity inside, you go around and you start telling everybody else. That's why, listen. Some preachers will tell you to cut them people out of your life. No. You speak truth to them people. You tell them no unwholesome word should come out of your mouth, but those that pump me up for what God's calling me to do. So if you got something negative, say, I'm going to rebuke you. I'm not cutting you out. You need to learn. Because if I cut you out, you're going to go tell somebody else something negative. I got to disciple you into truth. So the truth is, I need you to speak truth into somebody's life. And if you don't have scripture, then shut up. Don't cut them out. You're going to release them to somebody else. Disciple them. Teach them the truth. But people who are negative, you got to make sure they're not impacting and infecting you. Number four says this. It says, I see myself as inadequate for my challenges. Watch the observation of verse 33. This is why I like reading the Bible. Watch the observation of verse 33. There also, we saw the Nephilim. And we became like, say this word with me. Who told you you were grasshoppers? Why are you seeing yourself like that? Watch it. Who told you you were grasshoppers? Why are you viewing yourself? But it gets worse. Watch it. In our own sight. Read everybody together. The last phrase. And so we
were in their sight.
How you know what they thinking? How do you know what this dude is thinking? You know why you know? Because you project your insecurities on them. And we do it all the time. You go in a room and say, ain't nobody like me in here. So you say, I don't like myself, so ain't nobody else in the room like me either. And we project our negative, you project your insecurity on everybody else. They came up with that in their own mind. God's called you to do something. He's called you to build something. And you telling yourself that everybody else, this bank ain't gonna give me what I need, so let me just not even try. Why are you saying they're no for them? God's called you to go after it. You go after it. And watch what God will do. The cycle continues. It ends with, I make myself miserable. Chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Watch the text. I make myself miserable, and then everybody around me, I have a pity party. Watch this. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. You mean you cried all night? Because of what they said negatively? You cried all night? Watch the text. It gets worse. Watch this. Then they said, next verse. And all the sons of Israel, say this word with me. Because of the 10 against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. We don't want to go over there. We want to die here. How you get there? Because you hang out with too many people that have a perspective of fear. God's calling you to milk and honey, and you want to die here. God says, come on, man. You got me at your side. God says, that's not how I want you to live. I want you to live by faith. I want you to trust that if I say we're going over there, we're going. If I've given you a vision to go somewhere, then I want you to say, me plus God, we going. People come to me all the time and say, hey, Pastor, hold on. How did God do what he did at this church? I said, hey, man, it don't have nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. They said, what you mean? I said, because people come to me all the time. They say, hey, man, especially African-American pastors. They come to me all the time and say, hey, Doc, how do you do this thing debt-free? I said, oh, you sure you want to know? Listen. Because I said, when I first started this church, God convicted me that nothing we do should be about money. That I'd never beg people for money. Ever. Remember now, me and God had an agreement. I wasn't supposed to be here. I was supposed to be in Jamaica. Every now and again, I still want to go. Leave all of y'all up in here. But anyways, that's where I was supposed to be. So I said, all right, God, if you want me to be here, okay, here we go. And I said, but I ain't passing the plate. Y'all didn't even know that. We never passed the plate. The only reason we passed the plate here is because them doors too small for you to put the envelope in that little box. And then it makes people stay too long in church. That's the only reason we still pass the plate. Because me and God had a connection, and we said, God, listen, I am not doing this if this is about money. I've seen what people do with money and how people abuse it. We're not doing it. So you got to deal with the money issue in my heart and in their hearts real early. So he said, all right, let's do it. So every time we need something, I say, God, are you sure this is you? If this is you, then here we go. So we needed this building bill. Hey, God, you sure this is you? $12 million. Okay, good. Here we go. So then my only question is, God, is this you? Once that's settled, here's what I do. I come to y'all and say, hey, I'm not trying to make it up for God. Say, here's what I think God's leading us to do, and here's what we need to do, and here's my job. Okay, God. Faith. God, what's the next step? We need to build this. We have too many people. We canceled them all. We need to, okay. Well, I'm not doing it. I'm not borrowing no more money. I ain't nobody going to say we owe them. Nothing. Okay. Then my first step is, okay, we need a building. Is it the lowest price? Good. First step. All right. One community, we need some money. One community said, all right, let's see what we can do. Don't laugh yet. So then Louisville showed up. Hey, there's always somebody from that campus. Hey, Pastor, what? How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? I said, I don't know. If we need it, we do. Okay, God, you sure we need that, God? Yes, we do. You sure, God? Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Hey, one community, we need some money. We're not doing no chicken dinners. We're not doing nothing. We need some money. Y'all better bless. All right, God, I'm going to take the step. Here we go. Don't make me look like a fool, God. I'm going to take this step. I'm telling them, before we get the money, we need this much money. And let me show you what God does every time. Every time, God says, all right, here's why I love this. Because I don't need to fuss with y'all no more. No, I said to God a long time ago, I said, no, God, look here, I'm getting too many gray hairs. I'm fooling with them people too much. I am not begging them for nothing else. I just need you to turn the heat up on them if they cheat. So if stuff's happening in your lives, because I prayed for it. because I'm not fooling with y'all no more. I prayed that if you're cheap, God will turn the heat up so it gets uncomfortable till you say, all right, God, take the money. Take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. I'm not joking. I'm serious. Because every single time, the people in Prosper asked me the other day, hey, man, how are we going to do that? I don't know. That ain't my job. That's God's job. Because God's blessed y'all so much. I know. I tell y'all this all the time. It's in your account. You just need to press send. No, I promise you, as God's my witness, I said to God, God, no, let's make sure we get this right. I'm going to offend somebody, but don't be offended, okay? But this is my prayer closet time, me and Jesus. No joke. Don't hold my prayer time with God against me and Jesus. I said, Jesus, do you know that these are African Americans for the most part, don't you? Don't get mad. Don't send me a nasty email. This is my closet time. I'm letting you into my closet time. I said, Jesus, these are I sure did. And then he said, no joke, then he said, hey, this is my house, not yours. When you leave, it's still going to be my house, not yours. When you're dead and gone, it's still going to be my house, not yours. I'm responsible for my house, not you. Here's all I'm trying to tell you. Here's what God, when he shows you the vision, here's all he wants you to do. The next step. And wait. And when he gives you some more, here's what his word says. My word is a lamp unto your. What's the next thing God's asking you to do? The very next thing. That's the only one you need to take. And then you say, God, if you place this vision in my heart and it's yours, not mine, then you got to do what you need to do to make this a reality. I am not sitting up worried about this. That's your problem because you told me to do it. Do you see? You see, that's because you don't have faith, huh? When you have faith and you know it's God's, God told you that you're going to the land of milk and honey. What you worried about giants for? What you worried about fortified cities for? He told you go, then you show up. And when you show up there, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. You forget who you're talking to. You're talking about Yahweh God. Giants ain't none for him. If we didn't rent this, I'd kick it down right now, but it might break. So I'm going to leave it. I ain't going to kick it over. God kicks over giants all the time. Let's turn the page over. We got to go because y'all going to want to say Happy New Year and all that. So crying, complaining, and second guessing is how you throw a pity party. That's what they did. Listen now. So then number one is the report you believe is more important than the news you receive. My God. The report you believe is more important than the new. Ooh, watch this. I gotta go. What they went and saw was news. That's news. News. That's news. The city is filled with milk and honey. The city has giants. The city is 45. That's news, ladies and gentlemen. They said they gave a bad report. What's a report? A report. Is an interpretation of the news. So a report says, let me see what God's word says about the news. Now I know the news says life sucks, but God says, I am gonna make something out of nothing. So I don't care what the news says, what God's word says is what I'm gonna stand by. What you care about is the report. Not the news. The news is the issue. The report is the interpretation of the news through biblical lens. What God says is he needs more people that will look at the news of the day, the news that's trying to hold your dream back, and he wants you to interpret it through the lens called faith. You got some kids that are wayward, and you're wondering how we're going to make this work. Here's what he says, through the lens called faith. You've got a dream that you haven't seen come to fruition. How are we going to make it work? Through the lens called faith. You've got a marriage that ain't working. How? I've seen this so many times. You have two couples come together, and one, the lens of fear, one, the lens of faith. And you know what happens? The one with the lens of faith, they work it out. The one with a lens of fear, they give up and go their separate ways. All because of one word. Say the word with me. Perspective. God says, will you give up your lens of fear? And will you embrace in 2019 your lens of faith? If you look at a golf ball, back in the day, it usually was smooth all the way around. You know why it has dents in it? Because they later found out that the more dents in the ball, the further it goes. You are going to have imperfections along the way. Can I tell you what God sent me by to tell you next year? The more imperfections, the further he's taking you. Here's all God's sent me by to tell you today, right before I go. He says, if you will only trust me, that when I say I've got something for you, I've got it for you, you don't look at no chance or nothing else. You put your lens of faith on and you trust me in the midst of it. Father God, will you please help one community church this year, every person under my voice, to remove the lens of fear and to walk and wear daily the lens of faith. May our perspective always be informed by your word and not by the opinions of others. Help us not to see the giants, but to see the grapes of where you're taking us. Help us not to get focused on the fortified cities, but to see the fruitfulness of where you're taking us. Will you transform us from the inside out this year and allow us, please God, please, in the name of Jesus, to wear these glasses called faith every single day in 2019. May it be our brightest year yet because of the perspective that we have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Come on, give God a round of applause right where you are. Stay seated. Stay right where you are.